At times like what we've experienced the last few days, we turn, I think, to those anchor points in our lives, the creeds, the great hymns of the church, the scriptures, communion, the affirmations. And the scripture that we've swung to today is Psalm 46. I don't know if you remember, but 8.5 years ago, after 9/11, Jan and I made our way back here after being away for a few weeks, and this was the text that, excuse me, we used for that Sunday. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Thanks be to God for this powerful word of Scripture. Now, the earthquake lasted 35 seconds. And their world was changed forever. I'd like to begin this sermon with a period of silence, except perhaps for the melodious voice of children. A period of silence for 35 seconds. Silent prayer. Would you bow with me in silence? Amen. My thinking has been praying have been led to four areas this morning. First is the common bond we all have. When one suffers, we all suffer. When one mourns, we weep with those who weep, and we laugh with those who laugh. And this text that God is our refuge, our strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble. And even though the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, and the waters roar, and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. This has been an unbelievable, unimaginable set of circumstances, and our prayers and hearts and thoughts go out to all the people of Haiti. And our faith is shaken, perhaps, but there is a river which makes glad the city of God. And we thank God that God is present, not from our midst, but in our midst and in the midst of all the stuff that happens in life. There's a river. There are these stories of great hope, miraculous rescue in the midst of tragedy and travail. Hope alongside tragedy. Lamentations chapter 3. Says essentially, I was struggling, I didn't know what to do, and yet I hold on to this, that great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. And I'm amazed, as are you, of the stories of young people and older people in Haiti who are standing and dancing and raising their hands and in some sort of amazing celebration and praying and singing in the midst of deep tragedy. So we come alongside them. We couldn't have had a regular kind of worship service this morning. We needed to change to where we are today so that we could be a part of that. Then secondly, in our praying, St. Mary of Jesus said this, "It is the prayer of agony that saves the world." It is the prayer of agony. Somehow us entering, I don't fully understand it, but in entering into prayer, something happens for good, and we are doing that, and we will continue to do that. I encourage you over the next days and weeks to pause each day, sometime during the day, for 35 seconds to pray and remember our brothers and sisters in Haiti. One of my prayers is that out of this tragedy might come a mighty effort to revive and revitalize this impoverished country that has been on the edge of survival for many, many decades, that its infrastructure might somehow be rebuilt, and this might be a time of renewal. And so join together, we do, in our praying and in our giving. The United Methodist Committee on Relief has funded through other means, so every dollar we give goes directly to this. And then this story that Frank and Nancy Moses are involved with, and the flights there to bring relief, and I'm just kind of overwhelmed as you are with that, and I think we will join together in support. Even now, our children are making bracelets to remind them to pray for the people of Haiti, and they're collecting things to be sent to Haiti. We already have a medical mission trip scheduled for May, and that will continue. And Andrew suggests that we sponsor another Stop Hunger Now event for the meals to go to Haiti. Thanks be to God for all that people are doing. And in our hope, in the midst of tremendous loss, and we aren't alone. The church where Siobhan worships in Blacksburg, their pastor and a team from that church were in Haiti and had just left, I think, Port-au-Prince a few minutes before the earthquake happened. And they were able then in a day or two to fly back to Blacksburg, Virginia. But thank God for the Methodist Church around the globe and Christians around the world who reach out in love. There is a river that makes glad the city of God. There are these expressions of hope and grace. On Friday night, I decided I can't go this other way, and I changed things, and I emailed my clergy buddies, and I said, "What are you guys going to do on Sunday? Are you changing things?" And several of them said, "No, we've already planned things. We're going to add some things." And a couple of them who preached the lectionary, that is, the assigned or suggested readings. We don't do that here so much. And the assigned reading or suggested reading was John chapter 2, the wedding in Cana. And I thought, oh, wow, what are you going to do with that? And they said, "Here's what we're going to do. I'll pose the question. How can we dance at the wedding reception while others suffer so?" And sometimes you and I struggle with that. But as followers of Jesus Christ and people of faith, we know, just as Jesus knew, that mourning and laughing and weeping and crying are alongside of each other. And one doesn't negate the other. And we live in a world that has both of those. And we can do one in faith while the other experience is real as well. And it's in the laughter that we embrace all of life. And just as Jesus turned the water into wine, he probably foresaw the wine of his own sacrifice as he later held it up to his disciples and said, "This is my blood, which is poured out." That life has this strange juxtaposition, does it not, where we live alongside both of these things. And today we celebrate this wonderful baptism of Amelia with enormous joy and celebration and gratitude for life and God's presence in our lives in times of joy and in times of deep sorrow. And anybody in this room who's lived any length of time has known both of those. And the beauty is that God is in both of those. God is there when our own personal mountains shake into the sea, when the earth, our own personal spot of earth, crumbles and falls, and God is there. And Jesus is there, and nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And so yesterday I came to the chapel at 4 and celebrated a wedding for Mark and Carolyn, and we laughed and cried out of nervousness and joy and shared in Holy Communion. And I knew that Jesus was with us, is with us in our joys, and he's with us in our sorrows. What do we take out of this? Well, I don't know. It's difficult to be utilitarian in the midst of such overwhelmingness. But here are 3 or 4 lessons that come to me. Sometimes there are no words. And as you've been watching the news, there are no words that you can say. And that happens. And I've known that time in my life, and perhaps you've known that time in your life, where you could not utter a word, but as Romans 8 says, the Spirit is groaning within you. And so there's that truth and that reality that the Spirit is there to live in us and to say things that we aren't even able to say. The second thing is, and don't miss this one, love your family, love your family, love your family. All the testimonies, people who got out, people who had loved ones in different parts of the world, they only thought of their families. And at the airport, you saw the reunions. And one guy who was in that elevator shaft, he said, I put my passport on my chest so that they would identify me to my family. Love your family. Don't take them for granted. I read recently that the Mona Lisa in 1911 was stolen from the Louvre. Our art history professor, Bob Weston, said it was a commissioned steal to generate funds. I don't know all the details, but it's a complicated deal. At any rate, it was stolen, and it was not there for 2 years. Here's the irony. For those 2 years, there were more visitors to the Louvre to look at the blank space than there were before to look at the picture. Don't do that. Don't do that. Now, the blank picture doesn't look back. I mean, doesn't snap back, doesn't argue back, doesn't say things that make you scratch your head or get angry or upset. But embrace all of that. Life is, that leads to the third thing. Life is fragile. Then we can't be ready for everything. But my prayer is, God, I don't know what the future holds, but I want you to be my rock in the midst of whatever happens. I want you to be my rock in the midst of whatever happens. I'm amazed at how resilient people are, aren't you? As I watch these amazing stories, the young Haitian Fulbright scholar who's studying seismology and architecture here in the United States wants to go back to Haiti and build buildings, this time that have used reinforced steel instead of just masonry work. Or the interview with the young teenager who, when was asked, do you want to leave Haiti? No, 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 I love my country. And the other thing is that compassion is still alive and well. And just when we seem to be transfixed by wars and rumors of war and devastation through military means or terrorist attacks, we are confronted with the reality the world is still filled with compassionate people. Thanks be to God. So, would you pray with me? God, we all have our own personal stories of ups and downs and earth shaking. And we all hold to Psalm 46 that though the mountains fall and the hills quake, you are our refuge and our strength. We pray that for every person in Haiti, and we thank you for every effort to reach out. And may those who fly, particularly as we know now, those 2 planes, may they go on the wings of your grace. And may we always seek to have you as the rock of our foundation. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.